A reading from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love each other because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates a brother or sister, he is a liar, because the person who doesn't love a brother or sister who can be seen can't love God who can't be seen. This commandment we have from him: those who claim to love God ought to love their brother and sister also. A reading from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just before our gospel text today, at the beginning of the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, we see in John 14, Jesus promising the Comforter to the disciples. Jesus says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. For where I am, there you will also be." A wonderfully comforting scripture that we often read at memorial services. And so you may be familiar with it, and then you may have heard this scripture again about the vine grower and being grafted into that vine of Christ. But let's connect those two, because this one just on its own can be a little jarring if we don't see it in context. Because right after Jesus tells the disciples about the many rooms in his Father's house, that he is going to prepare a place and that he will not leave them comfortless, but will leave the Holy Spirit with them as a comfort, Philip freaks out. He says, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." In other words, I am not accepting diddly squat until you prove it to me right now. And don't you tell me you're going off someplace, because I don't want to lose sight of you. I don't want to lose hold of this beautiful, precious thing I have found. Philip is freaking out. And so afterwards, Jesus goes into these parables, these ways of explaining to Philip how God's love is unrelenting and how he can never be separated from that love. He can never be pulled apart from the body of Christ that he has been woven into by knowing Jesus and by following his teachings. Now remember that these scriptures found their context in the Holy Land, in the Levant. And in that whole region, there were vines growing. We know from Jesus' life even, remember the story of the conversion of the water into wine. And we know that wine was a chosen drink because often water would be contaminated, but wine would not be, right? And so they drank wine in that day. And they were familiar with the process of growing wine, of cultivating those grapevines and of harvesting them and producing wine. So Jesus uses this parable, this analogy that we have before us today. And sometimes we think that biology has taken huge steps only in recent times, which certainly it has. But did you know that the practice of grafting is thousands of years old? Gardeners from thousands of years ago knew that you could carefully clip and graft the branches of one plant into the stem and roots of another plant. Now, we know that sometimes you would choose to do that if you had a particular variety, say of grape, that was really hardy and it could withstand drought or flood. That would be useful, right? But maybe that hardy vine was not the most prolific fruit-bearing vine. And so you'd have this other vine that perhaps was a little whimsical when it came to drought and water and didn't like a change in seasons, but was very fruitful, bore a lot of fruit. You might take that second vine and slice the branch carefully and place it into a grafted place on the stem of the first. You would bind that up, and those two would grow together. The juices flowing up the stem of the original grape through the grafted markings that would be well laid into the branches, so that you would have this plentiful fruit-bearing vine that could be sustained through dry seasons and rainy seasons. The best of both worlds. So this grafting image works well. In fact, there is even a scripture in Romans chapter 11, verse 17. "But if some of the branches were broken off and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree." So you can hear that grafting was an idea understood in biblical times. And Jesus presents us with this really powerful image of how we, as individual branches, are grafted into the body of Christ, into the vine of Christ, if you will. This powerful image is one of God's unrelenting love, the extent to which God will go to reconcile us to God's self, because as we see in 1 John, we love because God first loved us. We love and yearn for God because God first loved us. God loves all of who we are. Let's push on this metaphor a little bit. It is a powerful one because Jesus is not saying that the transformation that happens in us when we live a life in Christ changes us completely. Jesus is saying that all of who we are, all of who each of us are, is grafted in. We are fully welcomed. We are fully embraced. We are grafted in, and then through us, from that eternal, everlasting wellspring of life, the roots of Christ, flows the Spirit of God up through that original trunk, through the grafted marks, and on into each of us. That's where the transformation comes in. That old or different branch is renewed by the Spirit of God flowing up through the body of Christ into all we are, transforming us and making us fruitful. Our task is to accept that grafting, to accept that plugging in to the vine of Christ. Now, earlier on, you saw me use the lamp with the children, and it's the same kind of concept. If you think about it, it maybe just applies a little easier to our current day experience, because I don't know how many of you have done grafting of bushes. Nowadays, if we want one of those fancy schmancy grafted plants, we go to the nursery and pick one up for extra dollars. So we don't really know how that works in the same way as the disciples would have known it, but you sure know electricity, especially when you don't have it. We take it for granted nowadays, but have you ever lived someplace where electricity isn't a given? Have you ever experienced that? Can you remember those times? A storm, maybe, when you lost electricity? Or another country or culture where electricity is not a given? It's an amazing thing to plug something in and to get light and heat that you can cook on. We take it for granted every day. We assume to wake up in the morning bleary-eyed and get our coffee, right? We take electricity for granted, and yet it is miraculous when you think about it. And in that same way, we are asked to plug in to that source of unrelenting love, of energy, of power, of love for each and every one of us, so that it might flow through us and beyond us, that it might be a blessing to others. Because, of course, what good is the fruit of the grapevine to the grapevine itself? Have you ever thought about that? The grapevine doesn't eat the fruit. The branch doesn't eat its own fruit. The branch is sustained by the energy rising up from the roots. But the fruit is for the benefit and blessing of others. The light that shines from us is a blessing to others. That's why we seek it, is to be filled by it to overflowing, that it might be a blessing to anyone and everyone we come into contact with. Now, I was thinking about the scripture in light of both the body of Christ, Christians, and also congregationalism. When I was researching images for the first service where we have the PowerPoint so you can see pictures, I found the image of a grafted fruit salad tree. It's a citrus tree where they've grafted in different kinds of citrus onto one tree. Now, I don't know if that's stretching things a little too far, but this one tree will grow two different kinds of oranges, lemons, and limes, so that you can make a veritable fruit salad from its fruit. And it looks beautiful. It's yellow and orange and green all at the same time growing on this one tree. Isn't that what the body of Christ should be? Isn't that what congregationalism represents? The gifting that each one of us brings to the whole. And yet sometimes we get so caught up. We get so caught up if we're an orange in thinking we should be a lemon. We get caught up thinking we should be a lime. Well, look, Pastor Nanette went and spoke to the lime. Maybe if I was more lime-like, she would come and speak to me. If I was an orange, I would be able to read in church. I don't feel that I can read in church, but obviously you're supposed to do that because look at all the oranges reading in church. You must have to read in church to be a good orange and to belong. Or maybe it's having time enough to volunteer at the food cupboard. Maybe it's being able to set aside the memories and the things that plague you enough to feel that God loves you. Maybe it's the things that bug you about the music or the worship style or all the changes in the church that have happened in the last few years. All these things that unsettle us and make us look at the other limes and oranges and lemons and think, well, I'm just a whatever it happens to be, and I'm not a that or a that or a that. But friends, that is both the bugbear and the strength of congregationalism. Think about it. Jesus isn't saying all get grafted into the tree and you become the same kind of grape, right? Jesus isn't saying only those gorgeous little tiny champagne grapes that are so delicious. Have you tried them? They're great. Only those ones are welcome to be grafted in. Or only the super plump, wonderful red ones that like, and think about what I was saying just now, if you use that analogy, that like a particular style of worship or that can read in church or have this particular gifting or time enough to volunteer or money enough to give to the church, whatever it is. Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is saying that each one of us, each kind of grape that we might be, or each kind of citrus fruit in the fruit salad tree, we are all welcome. We should all be grafted into the tree to bear our kind of fruit. That is the epitome, both of the body of Christ and also of congregationalism. So we shouldn't be trying to be something we are not. We should hold our own gifting and our own perspective. I think sometimes the bugbear is that we become insecure when we're surrounded by others who are different from us. We worry and wonder if we are good enough. But our diversity is something we should celebrate. We specifically and intentionally wrote an open and affirming, welcoming statement. It's included on the back of your bulletin today if you want to turn to it and look at it. It treasures and celebrates our diversity, recognizing that we are all different from one another, perhaps in some obvious ways. But let's face it, in every way we are different because we are not the same. You and I and to one another are different people. And so right there, we are already diverse. I might be an orange, Nathan might be a lime, Stephen might be a lemon. We're each different from one another, and that is our strength. That is our strength, that we bring a different perspective, that we bring our different likes and dislikes, that we bring our different preferences and giftings. That is our strength in the body of Christ. This morning's scripture is to remind us and assure us that each one of us is welcomed for who we are, for all that we are, whole. And we are welcomed into the body of Christ, to be grafted into that vine of Christ. Now, the thing is about this scripture, if you read it in isolation, it can seem a little daunting because there's that whole bit about what happens if you are not grafted in. You get pruned and cut on the edges. You get sliced and diced, and then if you happen not to be in the vine, you get thrown into the fire. And that can feel scary. It can feel like this scripture has in it a threat. But if we look at the arc of the story, if we look at where Jesus is coming from and who he is speaking to, we understand that these people who he's speaking to have a real sense of what it means to garden, to grow vines. They know that vines, if you do not prune them regularly, stop bearing fruit at all. Who's a gardener here? Any gardeners? You know that you need to prune back most everything that is fruit-bearing, bushes especially, right, that are going to flower in the new year. You often have to prune them back, either in the autumn time or in the springtime, so that they will bear fruit, so that they will flower. I learned a new term since coming here to America, deadheading. You can deadhead your echinaceas or your, what are those yellow and black ones? You can deadhead them halfway through the season, and then they'll keep blooming. So we have all these techniques for pruning. We know that that's a natural consequence of gardening. Stephen and I, as you know, have just moved into, well, we're a year into our house. So this is our first springtime, and we have a smallish backyard, so we want to maximize the use of it and make sure. So if you have any plants, let me know, because we're looking to plant, and it's just grass at the moment. And so there are some bushes that are overrunning themselves. They've planted a whole lot of babies, and there were about 50 of these little babies growing out from the parent bushes. And we had to go in and clean them out. So we had our forks and we were going at it and pulling these beautiful little baby bushes anywhere from this high to about this high, and I had a crisis. I had a crisis because I had read the scripture, and I thought to myself, here I am perpetrating the very sin that I think the scripture speaks about. Okay, I didn't burn them. I didn't throw them in the fire. I put them in one of those long brown bags and put that in the trash. But I killed about 60 plants. But here's the fact of it. We know if you're a gardener, you have to do that. That's a natural part of gardening. I wasn't murdering the bushes. I was helping to tend my garden. You can tell I had an inner monologue about this. It's a natural part of gardening. Jesus is assuring us that the gardener is tending to the garden, that what is not useful to you and I will be pruned away. It's not that we have to fear that, it's that we can trust that. That just like those of you who garden, care for your garden and care for the plants in it, weeding around them, pruning them. Jesus is tending to our lives. The Spirit that is flowing through and around the vine, is caring for it that it might bear fruit. This is a promise, not a threat. This is an assurance of God's love in a very practical and real sense. As we are grafted into the vine of Christ, as we come to that vine, welcoming all of who we are, whichever kind of fruit we may be, we also let go. We can release and relax. We can give of ourselves. We are welcomed into the family of God, and we can open ourselves, relaxing into our grafted spot and allowing the Spirit of God to tend us, to tend the garden. We can relax and let God do the pruning. We can open our spirits. We don't need to defend ourselves, whether we are oranges in the face of all the lemons. We can simply be. We can allow ourselves to be filled, representing all of our own giftedness, just as we allow for the giftedness of others. We can allow for our own opinions, just as we allow for the opinions of others. Friends, I hope that as a church, we see this scripture as an invitation to be all of who we are, allowing others in our midst to be all of what they are. And yes, each one of us will have to accept that at times we make lemon decisions. And so the oranges might not like it quite as much. And at other times we might make lime decisions. But at other times we will also make orange decisions. And let us embrace that. Let us embrace our diversity, the diversity of thought and opinion in our midst, trusting and knowing that we are all, each and every one of us in our diversity, grafted into the community of Christ, empowered by it, one whole congregation, diverse and beautiful in Christ. Amen.